Now another episode of What Dumb Guys Think about KFUO's 90-day celebration of 90 years of gospel broadcasting.
You young guys don't realize how easy you have it now.
What do you mean, John?
Well, you've got all these fancy indoor air-conditioned studios. Back in the old days, we had to make do with whatever we could find to record our shows.
So you're going to tell me that back in your day, you not only had outhouses, but you also had out studios?
No. We had indoor studios back then as well. It was just that studio space was at a premium, and little shows like Wrestling with the Basics, why, we often had to make do with whatever we could find. Why, I remember one month, Matt, we had to record in a converted dumpster.
A dumpster? Well, that would have been rough.
Well, it wasn't all that bad. In fact, that dumpster was bigger than the studio we're recording in right now. Oh, and the acoustics were fantastic.
Well, it sounds like you at least made the best out of a bad situation.
Of course, there was that one time they came to collect the garbage when we were in the middle of recording the show.
John, I think you're an amplitude modulation guy in a frequency modulation world.
Huh?
Oh, that's just an old radio saying. Anyway, happy 90 years of gospel broadcasting, KFUO.
We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. Had to think for a second, Matt. When you get as old as I am, you know, the memory starts to go. And next to me, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark of Ascension Lutheran Church.
No,
I know where I serve as pastor in beautiful South St. Louis.
That's right. And this is
Wrestling with the Basics.
And we're celebrating 90 years of ministry here, gospel broadcasting, 90 days, 90 years. And again, we got the Giving Tree going on, if any of you would like to send a donation, because again, we're listener supported. I really want to emphasize that, you know, if people don't make gifts, we're not doing. Well, maybe I better not say that. People say, that's all we need to do to stop having Wrestling with the Basics? To stop getting
gifts? Shut those two up.
Wow. But anyway, if you'd like to give a gift, and your name will then be put on the Giving Tree here in the studios, call Joan Harwell at 314-996-1512. Again, that's 314-996-1512. And Joni probably isn't here on Saturday, but she'll take your message. She's got a machine to do that for her.
A special machine.
A special machine, and she'll get back with you.
And, so, you know, if you're in the St. Louis area, if you're passing through, you can see the Giving Tree.
Yeah, so you should come in.
Just come on in to the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Tell
right
them John and Matt sent you.
Tell them John and Matt sent you. See how that far that gets you.
That's right.
They usually keep us locked out of the radio studio.
But you'll find us in the dumpster out back. If you're looking for us, we're in the dumpster out back.
But really, the tree is there, so. Oh, and it's right in the radio studio. It's a very nice tree, and you can check that out. Look for your name if you've given a gift. Say hi to Joni and her machine.
There's quite a few cards and decorations. They might take you a while to find your name, but it will be on
there. Well, that's
there.
A good thing.
That is a good thing.
It's a pretty
thing.
Full tree and getting fuller, and we thank God for that. So, good.
Well, Matt, so this week we are turning back to worship. Although, could I say one more thing about what we were talking about
last week? Oh, please do. Yes.
Well, last week, basically, we had gone through the story of Palm Sunday, which ironically is also the story that usually begins the new church year. And the point I made is, as it went on Palm Sunday, so it's going to go for us. And what happened on Palm Sunday is everything went according to the plan of the Lord Jesus, down to the fact that he had a donkey picked out for him to ride on, sent his disciples, told him exactly where it was. The people were ready to give that disciple, for the Lord has need of it. And that's how this year is going to go. We start a new church year, a new year at Wrestling with the Basics, celebrating 90 years of ministry. But this year is going to go according to the plan of God. Exactly. Everything's laid out. No flukes, no accidents. The Lord has need of us here at Wrestling the Basic. He has need of KFUO, and he has need of our listeners. And he's going to use us to accomplish his needs. But as I said, Matt, probably not according to our plans, though. It won't go according to our plans, but it will go according to the plan of God, which does involve some struggles, some trials, some crosses. But here's the thing I wanted to share to just wrap that up. The crosses and the trials and the death, because that might be part of the year, too, for some of our listeners. You do know that that's not really God's plan. God doesn't cause that. God doesn't do those things. I give you the example of Judas. One cannot say it was God's plan that Judas would betray him, to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. No, that was Judas's plan, and that's the problem. When our will starts to take over, horrible things happen. That's why we're better off just trusting in the plan and the will of God. But the will of God and the plans of God are so broad and so great and powerful and merciful, he can accommodate those kind of activities by men like Judas. The tragedy of Judas, however, Matt, is that he didn't understand that God could take an evil, wicked man like him and use him for his purposes. And at an end, then he committed suicide. But I hope and pray that through this show and through the work of KFUO and through the work of pastors and churches and through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, because that ultimately is going to do this, that we would all come to understand that we are sinners and we are going to fail and we're not going to handle our crosses really well. But that's okay. That's okay. We have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He can use us in our weaknesses and our failings, and he will use us. In fact, the Old Testament lesson that we had the same time we had the story of Palm Sunday from Matthew 11 was from Isaiah. And that passage really touched me, Matt, because in that passage, Isaiah says, you know what? I am a sinner. In fact, my most righteous deeds are like filthy rags in the sight of God.
Yeah.
And yet then he goes on to say, and yet, O Lord, you are the potter, and we are your clay. And, O Lord, we are still your children. So I hope everyone will remember that. We're not looking for a perfect year. We're looking for a year where there will be crosses, and we're looking for a year probably where we won't always handle them real well. But I hope and pray that through the efforts of our show here and the other work of KFUO, and like I said, the church as a whole, that people will know we're still the children of God. We still are. And that's why Jesus Christ came, so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And now you're going to tell us where this forgiveness is given to us, or one of the ways the forgiveness is given us. I can't talk. One of the ways the forgiveness is given to us in the worship, because it's worship week.
You bet.
Worship week.
You know, last week, you know, part of the reason John's starting off with this talk about last week's show's content at Palm Sunday is because I don't know if you know this as listeners, but I get to hear this all the time at the end of almost every show.
Yes.
That John's like doing the main talking is, I hate radio. You only have a fixed amount of time. I want to keep talking and talking. But see, in worship, when you go to New Athens or Darmstadt, that there's no time limit.
No,
so you can keep preaching on and on.
Yes,
and
yes.
On. and the reason I bring that up is because that's where we're at today with worship. Is
yes.
We're at that part of the worship service that we've been walking through these past few weeks. Of the sermon.
The sermon.
The sermon with no time limit.
Could I make one note here? That's the way it is
do.
If you worship at Ascension Lutheran with Reverend Youngblood Matt Clark.
Thanks.
At St. Paul's in New Athens and at Trinity in Darmstadt, we do have the 60-minute guarantee. Worship in 60 minutes are your money back.
Your money back.
But yes, go ahead, Matt. Some people, apparently, sermons will go on forever and ever.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, we don't always make it. In fact, we rarely make it under 60 minutes in Ascension.
Okay.
I'll be honest. So anyhow, Yeah. Okay. So the sermon, we want to get to that because we've gone through different elements of worship. Some things that in Lutheran churches or whatever church you attend, Christian church, there's certain elements that are like, you know, stay the same typically from week to week. But the sermon is one area where it changes, obviously, from week to week.
Yes, it does. You know, you better.
It better because if you keep preaching the same sermon, watch out. It may be easy on us, but. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard this before. You going to heaven. Yeah, didn't he say that last week?
Talk about wanting your money back. Yeah. That would do it. But yet, in that variety, there's also some uniformity, I think, though, too, in the sermon. There's some common things in a sermon that as preachers, we want to keep in mind and that we want to incorporate into our sermons and our preaching.
Should I make a list of these things so I can check them off?
Check them off. Make sure you have them. Well, here, I'll list a few, but then if you have some to add, please do so. You've been at this, what, like? You're 10 times longer than I am.
Thanks, man.
Back before KFUO was around.
That's right. Preaching to the dinosaurs.
Well, like so many things in the worship service already, they're based on, they're centered in, they're even straight out of God's word.
Yes.
And so does with
we
the sermon.
We hope.
That's
you're right, but that's something we should be looking for, not what your hobby horse is, but what the scripture teaches.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm saying even in the service itself, you know, the invocation out of God's word and all that. Yeah, and so it is, you know, with the sermon too. It should be based on the word of God. Yeah. So usually the word is present there in worship, at least I would think it should be. So you've got typically, like we said, an Old Testament reading, epistle reading, the gospel reading, a psalm we might throw in there. From the book of Psalms, various readings from Scripture, perhaps following the lectionary and different themes of the church here. And now during the sermon, typically the sermon is based upon the Word of God. It should be, at least. It's rooted in God's Word. And usually one of those readings that's read during the worship service.
Doesn't have to be, though, Matt. You'd clarify before. I mean, it's possible that a pastor would take a sermon series from maybe a book of the Bible or something like that. Or perhaps a particular topic, maybe stewardship or something like that. But again, even if you're doing that, you ought to have some scriptural reference behind what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, a must is, rooted in God's Word.
Okay.
But whether it's that specific reading for that Sunday, no, not necessarily.
Although it is good to use those readings because otherwise you might, like you said, you might just be having some favorite subject and so you just keep bringing that up week in, week out.
Exactly.
It makes you preach the whole counsel of God by using those assigned lessons.
Yeah, because we're sinners too as preachers and we do have these pet topics we might want to harp on and different things. But this kind of keeps us on track, like you said. I think it's a good point.
And it's frogs. I love frogs.
Every week they're talking about frogs. But well, there are frogs in the Bible, I guess.
Sure,
one of the 10 plagues, right? From the Exodus.
That's about it, though, isn't it?
That's about it. Not a whole lot more, but every week it's that plague of frogs. So it's an opportunity then, as preachers, though to expand upon the Word of God. Okay, we've heard it read from the Bible and not much commentary, if any, on it. But now it's our opportunity to unpack then, to give meaning to what God's Word is, to give answer to questions that listeners might have about it.
Because now, oh man, I thank you, Matt, because that's what just occurred to me. We want to know what the Word of God has to say to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, and God's Word, you know, certainly it doesn't return empty anytime we hear it. But to hear specifically what it has to say to us, that's important. You know, God's Word, relevant, important for its original hearers and readers. But now the opportunity to be able to talk about God's Word in the context of our world today and what our hearers are going through with the context of what's happening in their life and in our community. And that's why I think it's sometimes difficult for a pastor maybe to serve as a guest preacher somewhere. I've done that a few times. But as a pastor, you go into a different congregation and maybe you're substituting for a pastor who's on vacation or maybe you've been asked to preach for whatever reason. And you go into maybe a community that's different, but certainly a congregation that's different. And I think it's difficult. I mean, it's still the same Word of God, no doubt. But when you're preaching to the people that you've been called to serve and you live with and you minister to, you kind of know what their struggles are. You kind of know what their joys are. You know a little more how to apply that Word of God. But when you come in and it's a place that's unfamiliar, I don't know how you feel, you know, but I feel it's more difficult. Because you don't know that immediate context
it's a thing that frightens me, Matt, because, you know, in another 4 years, I'm going to be retiring, and I hope to keep on preaching. But you're right, that's going to be the problem. I'll be preaching to people that I don't really know. Like you say, now when I preach to people that I've ministered to all week long. And I think you're right. I think that'll be difficult to be preaching literally to strangers. In fact, I'll just tell a quick story. In seminary, I wrote this really beautiful, if I might say so myself, Easter sermon. It was kind of first person thing, and it was just kind of clever and everything. Got an A from the homiletics prof. And so I thought, I'm going to preach that my first Easter. I got it all set, you know, it'll be easy for me. And you know what? I preached it, and yet it just fell flat. Because you're right, it was a sermon I had prepared for a preaching course, but it was not a sermon, actually, that I had prepared with the people of my congregation.
In mind. That's important, that context, too. So, I mean, another reason that a sermon's important for that context. You know, and I also think, so based on God's Word, rooted in God's Word, another thing you preach for a specific group of people there.
Okay.
Another thing I'd add is, you know, especially as Lutherans, you know, to include law and gospel, that word of law and gospel, not necessarily the church, the sermon has to be, you know, first half is law and the second half is gospel, but that within the context of the sermon, within the contents, yeah, there are elements of law and gospel.
Okay. You're going to have to unpack that, because you crazy Lutherans, you go all the time, law, gospel, law. What in the world?
We even have
do
a show on KFO called Law and Gospel,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Tom Baker.
Well, you know.
So, briefly unpack. What do you mean should have law and gospel?
We're not making things up. So, when we go back to God's Word, it contains law and gospel. So, law is that word of God that really, primarily, chiefly, I'd say, shows us our sins, shows us our need for a Savior from that sin. And then the gospel...
Wait a second. You just made a very important point there. I think people hear the law and they think, okay, you're going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we want. Just give us some directions. Give us the 5 steps to how to celebrate Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not what we mean when we say law. We mean the law that's going to cut you to the heart and show you that you're a sinner. In fact, you're going to hear it and say, but I can't do that. I don't even know if I want to do that. See, that's the law we're talking about. The law that brings repentance.
So, I mean, well, and the law, I think, might show us what to do. And it is that guide, and that's an element of it.
Yeah.
But I think, like you're pointing out, chiefly, mainly, no, it's the law that cuts to the heart, that shows us we are damn sinners. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. And then we need someone outside of us to save us from that sin. And then that's where the gospel comes, that Jesus is that Savior who's the answer, the Savior who gives us that forgiveness of sins, the only one who can, the one who comes outside of us to be born, to live the perfect life, to die, to rise. He's that Savior.
And again, thank you for that clarification. So it's not that Jesus is going to make all your problems go away.
No.
Not to say he's not concerned about your problems, not that you shouldn't pray about your problems, call upon me in the day of trouble, not to say that the Lord won't make all your problems work together for your good, but the chief and foremost thing that Christ, the gospel, is going to give you is that knowledge that even in the midst of your problems, you're still God's beloved child, see?
Yeah.
That's our problem. We want to say, oh, take away my troubles, and then I'm God's beloved child. Oh, no. In the midst of our crosses and trials, we are still that beloved child of God, because God disciplines those he loves. As a father disciplines his son. So thank you for that distinction.
You bet. And you know, because if you leave out the law or the gospel, I think in the context of a sermon, you're really missing out. I mean, if you hear no word of law and you just hear the gospel, you know, it's kind of like, well, so what? You know, what's the need that I have for Jesus? But, you know, conversely, I think perhaps even worse, if you just hear the law, boy, you're left in despair. I'm just a sinner that's beyond hope, and what can I do about it? And we look to ourselves maybe for that hope and some sort of solution to our sin because the gospel has been left off.
That's what'll happen. Like you say, either we'll despair or we'll become self-righteous.
Yeah, prideful. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, to have that word of law to see that, we need a Savior and Jesus is that Savior from sin. So I think another element of the sermon that's important too. Yeah. So, I mean, those are just kind of 3 things, you know, the rooted in God's word, to specific people, context, and also, law and gospel as well. I mean, there's certainly other things we can add too. We can add the importance of this, you know, overall confession of the church being included in a sermon as well. We could add different elements too and go on and on. But you know, just some highlights of what a sermon should include as part of that worship service overall. So yeah, any other insights, John, that you have when it comes to sermons?
You know, that triumphant that you talked about, the scripture and the for usness that we're addressing people. In fact, that's what I love about the word preaching. That's what's usually translated in English, but the word is usually proclamation in the original language. So you're not just talking to people, but you're telling them something that's actually, it's like going into the guy who's about to be executed and say to him, guess what? You have a pardon. See, that's what preaching is about. You're telling people things are different, things are changed. Not just that I hope you're forgiven, but you really are forgiven. That's a fact. Jesus is your Savior. And then that business of law and gospel, it just occurred to me, Matt, that all of those are related, aren't they? They're all connected together because the thing we have to pray and give to people in specifics is, again, the fact that they're sinners through the law, the fact that they are God's beloved sinners. He's a friend of sinners. He's a friend of them, which comes through the gospel. And of course, what difference does that make if it's just what you say or I say? Well, who cares what matter John says? Mm-hmm. But what's important is that it's what the Word of God says to us. Yeah. So I thank you for listening to those three things, and I think they are all interconnected.
Yeah, and I think as you're talking, I think another thing to keep in mind, we can talk about God's word and the gospel in terms of explanation and in terms of proclamation. And we can kind of give explanation to it. Yeah, the historical context, and Jesus, did die on a cross, and he did come back to life, and explain all those things, so on and so on. But to proclaim it, I think there's a difference. And I think you're getting to that with the idea of preaching it, that Jesus died for you, that he rose for you, and that for you-ness of it all, that proclamation that this historic event also has meaning in your life here and now, to proclaim that in the ears and in the lives of God's people so that they hear that and understand it. So it's for them.
And again, Matt, see, now we've kind of provided a framework for how preaching and sermons should be done, but we don't want to fall back into the path of the law. Because, like you say, there's any number of ways this can be done, and certainly giving historical context that can be fun.
Oh, that's a good thing. Sure,
explaining the meaning of Greek words, doing things with linguistics is a good thing. Taking situations that are going on in the world today and applying this to that, using examples and everything. None of that's wrong. None of that's sinful, as long as both the listener and the preacher keep in mind that what we're looking for as a result of this sermon is faith. That's what we're looking for. And faith is that combination of realizing, we are sinners, and yet we are these sinners whom Jesus died for the cross for. And that's going to make a whole difference in how we're going to live our lives, too, because I'm probably a little bit weaker on what we call sanctification, because I hate to tell people what to do, because I'm afraid it's going to fall back into the law again. But that's part of it, too, letting people know we're different people now. We're forgiven people, and that means we're going to treat people differently because of what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think what we keep going back to when we're talking about the worship service and now the sermon in particular, that it points people to Christ. I mean, that's really the main thing.
Yeah.
It points people to Christ.
Thank you, Matt.
And there's a variety of ways in which to do that, certainly within the context of a sermon, but for it to always be Christ-centered, and for the way in which we preach should not detract from Jesus.
And so in the end, we can say we've given them Jesus. And by the way, just one quick thing, that's what we'll be doing next week. We come to our annual Christmas celebration. So we're looking forward to that.
You bet we are.
With giving them Jesus, and then also having a little fun too with the jalapeno chorus.
That's right. Oh, the highlight of my Christmas season every year. looking forward to it.
God bless you this Advent. We look forward to celebrating Christmas with you next week.